Hello, listeners. I'm Derek Quackenbush, and this is Podcasts of America, Mastering America for Your Success. Welcome to our series on getting into America's top universities. In this episode, Choosing the Right University, we're joined again by Suzanne Condon, the founder of Coast to Coast College Counseling and an expert on the college admission process. So, Suzanne, it's kind of a big question, but why don't we start by explaining how should students go about picking the schools that are right for them?
When I first meet with students, I give them a little bit of a survey. I like to find out what their learning style is. Are they a student that feels that they would learn best in a smaller class setting where the professor knows your name and where there's a lot of class participation? Or are they a student that would do really well in a class with 500 students taught in an auditorium where you don't really have a relationship with your professor? Oftentimes kids say, you know, I need that accountability. I need to know that that professor knows if I showed up to class. Otherwise, maybe in a big setting with 500 kids, I might sleep in, I might not show up. So I talk to kids about their learning style. There's many kids that say, you know what, I can learn in both those environments, but oftentimes kids reflect honestly and say, you know what, I think I'm better off in that smaller class setting. So learning style is really important. We talk about weather. What kind of weather can you tolerate? I work with a lot of kids from sunny Southern California, and they say, oh yeah, I can handle cold. I go skiing. Well, when you go to the East Coast, it's a lot colder than maybe just when you're going skiing. So I have to make sure that they understand how weather can impact them. Class size, I talked about before, you know, is really important. Are you going to be a student that does better in a small class setting with 12 to 15 kids? Are you okay with 25 to 40 kids? Or are you just going to be fine with a classroom with 200, 300, 400 kids? I think that's important to think about. I have a lot of kids that want to go to a school that has a lot of school spirit, where there's football games or basketball games. And when they tell me that, that's going to start to really limit the schools that we're going to look at. We're looking at the bigger public universities for those types of schools. Some schools offer a lot of diversity and some schools don't. So we have to look at that. I have some students that want a school that has a religious affiliation and some kids that absolutely don't want a school with a religious affiliation. Obviously, affordability plays into it. We have to look at what can the parents actually afford to pay and how much of a loan is the student going to have to incur. So affordability comes into play. So I sit with a student and a family and we assess all these types of criteria. And once we gather this, we put together a list of schools that meet these profiles. My overall theme and goal for the students are to be balanced and to be happy.
How have you handled, my guess is, and I could be wrong, but the process that you just outlined ideally should say, you know, this is the right school for this student. How do you handle that conversation if the school they want to go to, say Stanford, just as an example, is just clearly not the right school for them? How do you handle that conversation?
You know, I'm really careful to show families the facts. I point out exactly what the college lists on their particular website. Colleges are really transparent. They tell you what the mean SAT is, the mean GPA. And I like to look at the 25th percentile to the 75th percentile when I'm assessing either a GPA or an SAT or an ACT. Clearly, if you're falling below the 25th percentile, which I think most students probably would looking at Stanford, it's going to be very difficult to get in. You're going to need to be somebody that has something exceptional that sets them apart in order to get in if you're under 25th percentile. So I think the numbers don't lie. So I like to point that out with the parents. And I think once families really see the numbers, they grasp the context in which that is offered on the websites from these schools. I think that students need to be qualified to do the work at a particular school so that they can succeed. And I don't think colleges are going to accept students who can't do the work. So it's kind of a waste of time if you're applying to schools where your mean SAT or GPA is so below their means. I read an article once by the director of admissions from Duke University, and he called it 10,000 turkeys. And what he talked about is, why are people wasting their money applying when we're just taking applications and putting them in the trash because they aren't even in the realm of possibility? So families need to know. Lots of times people say, well, I believe in the Hail Mary. Like, you know, some divine intervention is going to come into play. Well, that's like winning the lottery. So I think you've got to be realistic. And once I show parents the facts and the stats, they usually get it.
You know, it's come up before, and certainly you just touched on the concept just now. Can you explain to our listeners what a reach, a target, and a likely school is, and maybe what your process is for helping them identify them?
Absolutely. When I work with students, we categorize every college they're interested in into one of those three categories. There's something called unrealistic reach, and I don't want kids to spend time on unrealistic reach. So my category is called realistic reach. This is where your test scores and your GPA might fall within that 25th to 50th percentile, and that's going to be a reach for you. A target is where your stats fall right at the 50th percentile. That is an indicator that you have a 50-50 chance of getting in. My kids typically get in when they're target because we work so hard to put together their information so that they do shine and all the puzzle pieces come together. And they're doing those extra special things that stand out in admissions process. So my kids with target typically get into their target schools. But for most kids, target means you have a 50-50 chance. And then likely, we used to use the word safety, but I don't like to use that anymore because you just never know today. But likely means your stats are clearly above the 50th percentile. You're closer to the 75th percentile. So the chances are if you put together an application that is, you know, does not have a lot of errors or inaccurate information, if you put together a good application, you're going to get into that school. So most of the time when I have something on a likely list, it's pretty much 100% they're going to get into that school.
When schools receive applications, they know where the students, you know, GPA or test scores fall relative to these percentiles, right? So are they able to determine if the student is considering them to be a likely or quote unquote safety school versus who's really reaching? And if so, do they maybe stay away from admitting students who are obviously choosing that school because it's a likely school and favor students who maybe are prioritizing that school over others?
I think that's a great question. Oftentimes, when I'm working with students from very elite private high schools, you see a lot of kids getting waitlisted at schools that are likely or target. And the reason is the colleges don't truly believe that they're going to take that acceptance. I try to help my kids make a case for why that is a good fit for them, why that college is a good fit. So when the college is actually reading the application, they truly believe there's a chance that student will come if accepted. And that's where demonstrated interest comes into play. Like, did you visit the college? What have you done above and beyond to show interest in that school?
I think that's all a really good point. Suzanne, thank you for sharing this information on choosing the right university. Listeners, you can learn more about this episode or Suzanne and her work on our resource page at podcastsofamerica.com/universities. Please stay tuned for our next episode, Preparing from Childhood. Until then, this is Derek Quackenbush for Podcasts of America, Mastering America for Your Success.